God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is exhortation, the spiritual ability to encourage, comfort, and admonish God's people. Whether God's people are oppressed, confused, or in error, God has provided the gift of exhortation to comfort, urge, and correct them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Why, with or without Delilah? This is Wretched Radio. I know I shouldn't ask this question, but I'm going to. Jimmy, can you remember the movie? And I think the cover, like the movie poster or on the DVD. No, DVD, the VHS.
I probably won't remember it.
Oh, boy. It was like a spaceship hovering down. I can see the movie poster. Not aliens or something like that, where there's a big... It's coming down to the earth, and there's people looking up. There are people like, oh boy, what's this all about? Do you know what movie I'm talking about?
I do not.
See, I feel like I'm in it right now. Have you seen this new light they installed in here?
That's a big, huge thing.
I am going to get just sucked up into this light here. I feel like there's a big UFO that's hovering down. Not that there are. Actually, there are UFOs. There are plenty of unidentified things in the sky, but there aren't any spaceships in my estimation. This thing, I just feel like I'm going to get consumed by this bad boy. But I guess the more important question is, how do I look? Does the light do me well?
It's
all
perfect.
Right, just let's move on. 877-282-2337. That is the number you need to know if you would like to send questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, because we're mailbagging all week. We're kind of catching up. Because somebody missed a lot of work recently.
Actually.
And I'm not going to bring it up and throw it in his face.
I didn't miss a lot of work. I just missed a lot of work in here.
Okay, so we missed you.
Thank you. I missed you too.
Yeah, sure. Let's not get syrupy. 877-282-2337.
Hey, this is a text.
Really wasn't the same without you, Jimmy.
Was it not?
No, it really isn't.
Yeah,
it's not. And doing the program without you is it ain't a barrel of laughs either. It's good to have you.
Well, I thank you. It's good to be here. Hey, look, Derek texted in. Todd, where do lizards go after their tails fall off?
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. I didn't set that up right. Hey, Todd.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Where do lizards go after their tails fall off?
I don't know, Jimmy.
The retail store. You get it? The retail.
You have to tell that joke because it doesn't work in writing, you know.
Oh, it does. I got so, you know, you told people to text in and wish me well and encourage me during my recovery from my back surgery and neck surgery. And they did in droves, man. I mean, we had a lot of listeners text, and occasionally they're still texting to this day. But the dad jokes I got were I can write a book of dad jokes with the amount that we got.
Oh, that would be terrific.
I just
want to be a Barnabas encourager.
I wish we
that would be great, Jimmy.
I wish we still had the wretched store.
we can put your book up for free.
Okay.
If you'd like. By the way, whatever happened to that book you were writing?
I'm still working on
it. What happened to it?
It's still there. I'm just trying. You know, you gave me some good ideas as far as... you know, what's the purpose? Why would people want to buy it? Type of ideas. We had that conversation and we came away with organizing it into categories and like 30-day devotional type things.
Yeah.
And organizing it has proven to be true because I didn't write it in any kind of order. Or it's proven to be a bit of a hassle trying to get all of what I've written into like.
But Jimmy, I think it's some helpful stuff.
Yeah.
It's real folksy. It just drips cornbread.
Mm-hmm.
Can you drip cornbread? Do you know what it actually gets up my nose? Is going to a barbecue restaurant and they either don't serve cornbread. That should just be a crime. This is, see, if the Biden administration were back in, it might be a crime because they'd probably like to do stuff like that. But then if they do have cornbread, they don't have honey. Oh, what's the point?
Cornbread
needs honey.
See, that is an age old especially not even the honey, but that adds to the conversation. It's an age-old debate in Southern culture. Do you put sugar in cornbread? Is it supposed to be sweet?
You know what? Either one is fine by me.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Cornbread is. But you know what really makes cornbread cornbready? There's two things in my estimation. Corn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, actually, like chunks of corn. Where it's like not mushy. They got a little pop to them, like a crisp grape. And then the top, the top of the cornbread, like a muffin top.
Mm-hmm.
That's if it gets all moist, it gets in. But wow, when it's just hot out of the oven and it's got a little crunch to it for the texture. Oh, ho, 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 ho. I didn't do cornbread until I moved down south. But if you serve them up without honey, we could have ourselves another civil war. That's what I'm saying. So your cornbread book was basically about some anecdotes of life of doing Christianity.
Right. So basically it's teaching theology through the lens of just a real Southern guy and his family. And it just shows you that we live theology every day, whether we realize
believe it.
Yep.
Yeah. Everything is theological.
And I think that's the big problem. And that's what drove me to put this together is because most people think theology is just for seminary students, professors, and that's not true.
Well, there is a trick with theology, and coincidentally, this is what my book, which will be pre-sailed on September 1st, what my book is about, it's understanding how theology does inform everything.
Mm.
Because if everything we do is theological, we shouldn't have to ask the question, why does my Christian life seem detached from reality? Because in reality, it is not. We're simply not aware of it. We live in a closed system. The air you breathe, God. Now, I don't mean mystically. I'm just saying everything about everything is about the one who made and sustains everything and who is organizing and writing everything. You're in that cosmic drama, whether you want to be in it or not. You're in it. The only question is, will I play my part well? In order to play your part well, do you know what you need? You need the script, and you need to understand what the play is about. You need to understand the premise of it and the point, and you need to understand who the star of the show is. Without those things, life can never be what it could be. I'd liken it unto a play if you want to. You're standing on the wings. And somebody shoves you out onto the stage. There's a huge audience there. You're on, huh? To be or not to be? Is that what we're doing here? What are we doing? I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, that's if you will, an illustration of life. You're on God's stage in God's theater. God's the audience. He's the director. He's the writer. You gotta know what his intentions are. And when you do, all of a sudden, the play makes sense and you will be able to perform your part with gusto. That's what my book is about, Jimmy. Go serve your king.
It's going to be good.
We'll see.
I'm excited for it.
We'll see about that.
I haven't gotten an advanced copy yet or anything.
I could, you know what? The only thing I've got is a printed deal. On the computer machine.
The PDF.
That's the one right there.
Right.
I got that for you.
Okay.
Can you read that on that type of screen?
Yeah, I think so.
I can't do that. 877-282-2337 if you'd like to enter the cornbread debate.
Well, you haven't had cornbread until you've had crackling cornbread.
You're right.
You've never had crackling cornbread?
I can't wait to hear about it. What?
You don't know what cracklings are? Cracklings are like pork rinds.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. A Southerner about crackling cornbread. Tom Hammond the next time you talk to him.
That's like putting peas in popcorn.
Oh, no, it's not.
Yes, it is. No, popcorn is pure all by itself. Okay, it needs butter and salt, but you don't need all of that stuff. Cornbread, not cracklin, then just call it cracklin bread. That's what you want to do. You do you with your cracklin bread. But I'm doing cornbread, pure.
Okay. Okay. All right. This is from Anonymous. Todd, I recently broke free of a porn addiction I had for 9 years, starting when I was 14, through realizing what the gospel is, who my identity is, what true repentance is. I'm reading, praying, and meditating every day to renew my mind. But now that the porn is gone, I feel kind of lost. What do I focus on fighting now? It's also easy to feel depressed, and I'm not sure why. Shouldn't I be joyful now?
Yes. What should you be fighting? The Christian life is an ongoing battle against sin. But I want to state this carefully, because I don't want it to sound like I'm minimizing the war against temptation and sin. But this, what will bring you joy, is not so much victory over sin. That'll bring you some joy. The only thing that really is the source of joy is Jesus Christ himself. And so if you're not experiencing joy from overcoming sin, perhaps it's because you're failing to remember the one who gave you the power to overcome the sin, the one who is the motivation for overcoming the sin. Because without that, you might be happy that you don't do that sin anymore, but you won't have joy. Your victory is in Jesus Christ. Let him be the centerpiece. And then as you go about the business of discovering sins, or if people who love you bring them to your attention, you can go to war against those things. But even then, it shouldn't displace the centerpiece of your life, which is focusing on Jesus Christ. Then deal with your sins. This is Wretched Radio.
You ever been sitting in a sermon and your pastor drops a Greek word like he actually expects you to know what it means?
Well, in the original Greek, the word metanoia, and you're just nodding along like you totally followed that.
Well, what if you actually could follow it? Our resource, It's Not Greek to Me, is a basic Greek primer that teaches you to read your New Testament in the original language. It's not seminary-level memorization. It's just enough to understand what your pastor's talking about, to get more out of commentaries and footnotes, and do your own word studies so you know exactly what God intended to communicate. There's 10 lessons. It's perfect for individuals and families and Sunday school classes and homeschoolers, or just anyone preparing for a more serious study down the road. This is the language that God himself chose to write your New Testament, and learning it, even the basics, will change the way you study Scripture. It's Not Greek to Me. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Look, here's something that I've noticed, and maybe you have too, but it's really easy for us to treat our faith sometimes like a category. As Sunday is Sunday, work is work, parenting is parenting, and somewhere in there you try to be a Christian, but it doesn't always feel like it's all connected. That's why Dr. John Krotz and his podcast Integrated is so incredibly important. Dr. Krotz is a pastor, he's an author, he's a biblical counselor, and he's a Fortis Institute fellow and the host of Integrated, and he is helping people see how Scripture speaks to every part of their life. Not just the spiritual stuff, but the practical, everyday, how do I actually live this stuff out stuff. And if what we're doing at Fortis Institute has been a source of encouragement for you, I want to ask you to consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us continue producing content just like Integrated that connects the dots. Go to FortisInstitute.org right now and find out how to join us. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
A lot of us got handed a choice we never agreed to. Faith on one side, reason on the other. So when talk turns to fossils or the age of the universe, you kind of feel that knot. You know, you believe God's word, you just can't explain why. But that choice was a setup. The same God who gave us the Bible gave us the universe to study, and truth doesn't argue with itself. The trouble was the assumptions, the ones smuggled in next to the evidence and taught as fact. It's why two people can look at the same fossil and walk away telling two different stories. But you sort the assumptions out and the science sits comfortably beside Scripture. That's exactly what In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle is for. He's a PhD astrophysicist who takes the hardest questions in science and makes them clear and biblical. New episodes of In the Beginning heard every Wednesday on every single podcast platform in existence. Or on the Fortis Plus app at fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done.
Jesus is called the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7 describes the Son of Man who came from heaven, received worship from all nations, and rules a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Jesus uses this title to affirm that he is fully human and fully divine.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now I know what cracklins really are.
Cracklin' Rosie, get on board.
This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy.
Yes.
Why didn't you tell me that cracklins was just shorthand for a Neil Diamond hit from 1960-something that you listened to while eating cornbread muffins? With butter and honey. No, maybe I'm less of a purist than I thought. You add cracklins, whatever those are. I need butter and honey. And if you want to pop them in the microwave on reheat, that ain't a bad idea either. What exactly are cracklins?
So cracklins are, you know, I told you they were just like pork rinds. Pork rinds are pork skins that have been fried. Well, cracklins are the pork skins and a little fat and a little meat. I don't eat it now because my wife wouldn't make it.
Because she has taste.
But I'm telling you, when I was a kid and my grandmother made crackling cornbread, oh, you couldn't tell me anything.
Oh, it just is. It's just plain. Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Would you like to come to our place Saturday morning? We're making some Snaplin blueberry muffins.
What's that?
It's steak. It's cow skin with a little bit of meat attached, fried, and you put it in the blueberry muffin. Snaplin muffins.
That's weird.
Exactly. 877-282-2337.
This is from Brent. Todd, as Christians, we are rightfully against euthanasia, or maid as the pagans like to call it, but I was wondering what our stance should be on euthanizing animals.
Yeah.
Say a sick cat or dog. Obviously, animals are not image bearers, but is it contradictory to be against abortion and euthanasia for humans, but be okay with it for animals?
Yeah, I think it is, because we're just a different class. We're imago Dei. They're not. We are here to tend them and to take care of them and to make decisions for them. And when an animal doesn't have the ability to understand, care for itself, we do that for them. Now, I think the imago Dei is the biggest distinction, but I do believe that there is another one, and you might not buy this one, because I remember with our last dog, Charlie, he you know, deteriorated like all dogs do. He was 14. And I remember calling up a number of friends and asking this question, and nobody really engaged with me on it. I asked it, and they were like, yeah, so anyway, got to go. Because it just didn't seem to be a thing. I do think that there is role definition that needs to be considered when it comes to animals. They are here for our good pleasure. When those roles are reversed, Then I think the relationship, if you will, can be over. And I ask that question of people: am I wrong in thinking that this dog is becoming so time consuming, so much the centerpiece of the house, is doing things that are making a mess in the house? And you know what I'm talking about. Going outside with the dog. His knees were getting shot to boot. And so in order for him to do his doggy business, I had to like hold his back legs. Otherwise, he'd fall down. And I kept thinking, and I love dogs, and I love my dog. Not as much as I like Freddie. But the point is, I love Charlie. And I kept thinking to myself, well, this is just backwards. I'm not here to serve him. He's here to serve me. And if that usefulness has ended, I don't think that it's a sin to make that really painful decision to euthanize your pet. So I think for those two reasons, imago Dei versus animal and role definition, I think it can allow you to make that decision that probably won't ease your pain in doing so, because, man, it's awful to put a dog down, isn't it? Oh, and they just look at you. Oh, I just thinking about it. So thanks for bringing up a painful subject. Send more painful subject questions to 877-282-2337. Jimmy, you got anything else?
No.
About any other reasons why it's okay to do that?
No, I mean, I think that he answered it in his question as far as animals not being image bearers. I think that's the biggest.
Well, why they're here for? Okay, I can substantiate that. We kill and eat,
right?
And we're ending the life of an animal prematurely. Why? To serve us, and that's why I go back to role definition. If they're not serving you, and look, we serve them. We take care of them. We feed them and we walk them and do all that grooming and all of that. But that's a part of taking care of an animal as they bring us pleasure. I think when that gets flipped, and you need to make that decision carefully, and everybody's might be just slightly different, but I just don't think you're sinning any more than you're sinning when you kill a cow to fry the skin with a little bit of meat and eat Snapplin' blueberry muffins. Snapplin' blueberry muffins.
You're not going to let that one go.
Why would I? 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Joanne. Todd, do you have any information, science or biblical or both, on flat earth claims?
Yeah, I understand why people could read the Bible and say four corners. Well, okay, a circle doesn't have four corners. I think that's poetic language. We still use that term today. The four corner, and we pretty confident it's round. So I understand that, but I do believe that we need to understand that the Bible does use common language like the sun rising. Well, we know it doesn't rise, but we still say it, don't we? We don't send nasty emails to the TV station because the weatherman said that the sun went down when we know that it doesn't go down. It's language that the Bible uses to describe what we all observe. Having said that, I do believe that there's also biblical evidence for a round earth. It describes it as the circle of the earth. Now, having said that, do I think that this is a massive theological issue? No, I don't even think it's a theological issue at all. And so if we're going to have a difference of opinion on this because there are some people who think that there's some form of scientific evidence that indicates there could be that we are a flat earth, I personally think that there's a lot more scientific evidence that the earth is round. We see the pictures from outer space. It sure looks round. Now, I suppose somebody would say, if those are actual pictures from outer space, but I think that the scientific evidence demonstrates that it is a round planet that we are on. Please, let's not make this a big whoop-de-doo. Let's not, you don't want a church split over the shape of the earth. 877-282-2337.
This is a text from anonymous. Todd, is a man who divorced and remarried before coming to Christ disqualified to pastor a church?
I don't think so. I don't think so. That would, the man may, no doubt, frankly, committed sins before becoming a believer that would disqualify him besides a divorce. If it was a sinful divorce, I think you'd still want to examine if it's a biblical divorce, but nevertheless, what if the guy had, what if he just, he'd committed adultery before he got saved, gets saved, becomes a pastor. Well, that wouldn't disqualify him. It would if he were a pastor now, but not prior to. So no, I think a man could be divorced prior to becoming a believer and end up becoming a pastor. And I suspect, quite honestly, something like that, while it certainly doesn't justify it if it were a sinful divorce, probably would make him a better pastor. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Stuart. Todd, is it a good idea to share the gospel immediately upon meeting someone, or should I wait for an appropriate time, or am I missing an opportunity?
Six of one, six of the other. You can, you can't. Kind of depends on your personality, your ability to make the conversation go that way, the dynamic. Are you in a short-term situation? Look, you can do it well or you can do it weird. Either way. Okay, so, excuse me, sir, what's your name? I'm talking to you, Jimmy.
Oh,
hey, sir.
Oh.
We're doing a dramatization. We should make rehearsals. What's your name, sir?
My name's Charlie.
Charlie, nice to meet you. Do you believe in Jesus? Okay, kind of like, wait, hello.
Yeah.
Okay, now, how might I do it better? I've got short term. Hey, sir, how are you? What's your name?
Charlie.
Nice to meet you, Charlie. Hey, this is going to potentially sound a little bit abrupt. And the only reason that I'm doing this is because we got short time, but there's something that I sure hope you know. Are you familiar with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because if you're not, I've got this booklet right here. Here, this is my gift to you. I sure hope you'll read it, Charlie. Take care. This is my stop. It can be done. It can be done. Now, let's just say, my good old pal, Charlie. Charlie, man, it sure has been good knowing you all of these years.
Hey, you too, Todd.
So, do you want to become a Christian or not? Okay, that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
The way that I did it. Okay, so point is, time really doesn't matter. I think more important is how you go about doing it. Use discernment, use good judgment, and do your best to make the most of every opportunity. And that could include a very brief opportunity. Just maybe rehearse it, practice it, and then you can proclaim his excellencies, whether you've got a 20-year relationship or a 20-second relationship. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.